Hey, and welcome to the Hobos Collective. I am your host, Logar the Barbarian. And today I'm joined with a special guest, an artist, J.A. Cartoons, who is the cartoonist and owner of Mental Den Studios, publisher of independent comics. Welcome, J.A. How you doing?
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. We had a little bit of an issue trying to connect there for a second. The first time we tried to record, there was a problem. So we got it taken care of.
Yeah, man.
Oh, good. So before we start, I want to say thanks to our sponsor for today's episode, Brooklet Games. Head to brooklygames.com for awesome adventures to bring to your table, especially if you like giant bugs, generated adventures, and cool micro settings. Thanks for the support, Brooklet Games. I'm going to change subjects from games to comics, right?
Yeah, man. Let's do this.
Let's talk comics. I read a comic that you did, and it's pretty cool. I'm sorry if I compare things to things improperly, but it kind of has a Ninja Turtles vibe to me when I read the comic.
it does, yeah. It has that Ninja Turtle vibe, that Weapon X vibe, all the comics that me and my co-creator love. We just put all of that in there.
I had that original Weapon X back in the day in my old comics collection from the Marvel Comics Presents. Those issues.
Barry Windsor Smith.
Those had some great covers. Those were beautiful. But yeah, I loved those things. And that those old Turtles, I had a few of the old black and white ones from back in the 80s. And it would always start with the old turtle sitting around, kind of like Kung Fu or something. Like, hey, let me tell you a story. And there'd be little kids like you'd be the mentor of. And it would be these bonkers. I loved those comics. They were cool. I'm assuming you were into those.
Oh, yes, man. In fact, I stumbled upon issue 2 when I was 12 years old, not knowing that was the original source. I just thought it was just a part of... the turtle mania that was going on, like from the cartoon show.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh man, this looks just like the toys. Not knowing, like, this is it. This is where it came from, you know? But later in life, I think when I was 26, I got back into comic books I seen the trailer for the documentary Turtle Power, it talks about the creators of the Ninja Turtles and how they got started. And I was like, oh man. I want to get back into making comics again, you know?
Yeah.
And I never stopped since then. I just continue to make comic books, and now I'm putting them into print and self-publishing.
So that's quite a bit. How did that start? What took you from, hey, I like doing these, I want to draw these? Like, where did you get your start in drawing your comics? And I'm curious to know about some of that journey.
Probably at the early age of, like, way back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I seen a commercial for, I think it was an ad for MacBook or Apple. And it was this guy talking about making his comic books independently and self-publishing it using his MacBook and putting it out online. And I was like, oh, holy crap. I was like, oh man, I can do that. I want to do that. And another one was, Joe Cartoons. He used to do flash animation, and he had his own website, and he did like these little comic strips and t-shirts, and he sold that online. I was like, oh man, I'd like to do that. I'd like to sell my stuff online and be an independent cartoonist. And from there on, I just started going to the comic book shops around the corner. I used to go to the corner store, buy my little juice and my chips, and then run over to Bulletproof Comic Books that was on, I think it was on Flatlands Avenue in Canarsie, Brooklyn. And I'd go over there and pick up all the back issues because they were cheap, right? And I would buy all the Frank Miller stuff. I would buy, all the Daredevil and Punisher stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, they were all sitting in the back, all used comic books, and just go home and sprawl them all out in my old grandmother's room and just redraw them,
you know? Oh, yeah.
And over and over again. I would just stay up there all day, and all the kids I used to hang out with were like, what happened to J.A.? What's going on? Why isn't he not outside playing? It's like, you know, I got something to do. I got a mission.
I gotta do my art, my drawing. I get it.
Yeah. And then from there, I used to take the panels and rearrange them, like draw the panels, rearrange them to my own story.
Oh, that's good. I like
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, take Spider-Man, have him eat Wolverine, all that other shit. Yeah.
That's good. We did a role-playing game when we were younger called Heroes Unlimited, where you play superheroes. And a lot of our little comics that we were drawing were corresponding to the game or the world we had built up, me and my little friends. Yeah. We made these little... So we would constantly be drawing them as splash panels. It was great. I was into it. And I'm older and I still enjoy, you know, those things.
Hey, that's a nice Misfit tattoo right there, man.
Oh, thank you. That was my first tattoo. That thing, I was just talking to my son the other day. I was sitting there. I said, you know, I took my son to get his first tattoo. He turned 18.
Yeah.
And when he was younger, I said, well, when you're 18, I'll take you to go get a tattoo. Yeah. So he turned 18 and he asked, he's like, well, Dad, I'm 18. Now you're going to take me? I'm like, well, I guess I'm taking you to get your first tattoo. I promised you like 12 years
ago. You know, I saw that post. I like that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's awesome.
He got the girl tattoo. It's a skateboard company that he's always gotten skateboards from. Girl Skate. And he got that and he was pretty proud. But I was sitting there thinking, I was like, you know, when I was his age is when I got my Misfits tattoo. And I was like, I was thinking about when that was. I said, no, looking at the age, like, well, this tattoo is at least 25 years old, son. And awesome. The tattoo artist leans in and he goes, that's how old I am. I'm like, oh no, my tattoo is as old as the tattoo artist now. I could not stop laughing. It was an odd little interaction, made me feel really ancient.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, that's completely aside from comics. But oddly enough, some of the next stuff I did get tattooed was Fantastic Four and Daredevil and all that, because I was really into those. And when I went in to get those tattoos, I was looking for Flash, and they had old John Byrne comics they had cut up and like made a sort of like a Flash sheet of the old comics. And a lot of it was just heroes' faces, just random faces from the covers popping out.
I love the FF. Especially Kirby and Lee's run on it.
Those were ones that we really got into. Was the FF was probably one of my number one favorites since I was little. And when I got into reading comics was like the early 80s, and I found giant stacks at yard sales more often in the 80s. So I was able to have a very robust collection back then for the kind of money you couldn't get a collection like that nowadays for, I'll tell you that. Not lawn mowing money, right?
Yeah. All those old comics, I would always go and get the reprints. Or they would be in the action figures in the background. That's how I found out the origin of Spider-Man when I was younger. I had the action figure. He was just so articulate. I didn't like it. I was like,
and it had an amazing fantasy number 15 that one of the figures.
It had the reprint. Figure. And it had his stand with J. Jonah Jameson on a billboard. And then,
I remember that.
Yeah. And then they had the first appearance of Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And I read that. And it was the first time I found out about his origin, about how dark it was. And, you know, this is before the movie. And that whole saying about with great power comes great responsibility. I never read anything like that in a comic book. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It just blew me away. It was like, this is crazy.
So let's talk about for a minute, because we talked a bit about it, but Unnatural Beast, the comic that you've done, maybe tell folks what it's about, why they might, who might get into it, what might like, because like I said at the beginning, I thought that Unnatural Beast kind of had that Turtles vibe in a sense to it, the way it's done. How would you describe the book to people?
Well, it's a story about these weaponized animal experiments that revolt against this secret government laboratory in New York City. And it's got a lot of turtle vibes, like you said, takes a lot of inspiration from old comics, old Punisher comics and Daredevil comics. Mm-hmm. We just put everything in there that we love from old comic books from the 80s.
That is, and it's nice. This black and white interior. It's as I'm reading it, this seems to be an origin story for the character.
Yeah,
correct. So yeah, I'm curious, what can we expect going forward with this, and what?
Oh, without it, yeah, without any spoilers, you know, we're just gonna continue the story, you know, with the about the animals, and you know, it's gonna be more of a fugitive story going on, like it's in the next book, and you know, the animals will be wanted by the government, and they're going to be running through the 1980s New York City. Well, it's not 1980s; it's more of the 1980s style of New York City. There's no actual date on the comic book. Like, there's no year on it. You know, it's just like post 80s look.
It's just kind of going for a general a vibe or a feel or something.
Yeah,
and like
yeah.
I mean, comics do a lot of that. Guys like Eisner and stuff like that, the way he captures, like, New York has a specific feel that he's going for when he does that kind of stuff, Will Eisner and them. So, you know, tell me about the characters that we're introduced to here in the book. I'm curious if you could give us an idea of who we're looking at with these.
Yeah, we got, we have Wildclaw, which is more, takes a lot of inspiration from Cerberus. And like, you know, those anthropomorphic animals and mixed with Wolverine.
I like that.
You got the claw, you know, and then you got Cult, who's more like a T-800, you know, meets Cable.
Yeah.
From X-Force. Yeah. And then you have the sympathetic nurse, the sympathetic,
I don't want to interrupt. I want to interrupt real quick. Rewind. So we had, what animals are each character specifically we're looking at here?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You're fine. Yeah. I'm curious.
Wildclaw is the cat. It's the bobcat.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. She's got the claws, and you know, she's got animantium claws. Not animantium. They're. I'm thinking more of Wolverine.
Yeah.
The titanium claws.
Titanium claws.
Yeah. And they go through, they pass through this machine as they're trying to escape. And one of the guards of the facility fires at the animals as they're running away.
Yeah.
And as they go into the mutation contraption, he fires off at the machine, and the gas goes off and turns them into these anthropomorphic super creatures.
And now you have you were going to say there's the nurse and the general, correct, so far in here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's the guy that runs the whole facility.
Yeah, so we got quite a few interesting, and we definitely have a nasty, I'm not going to lie, you give me a big authoritarian, like general or something like that for the villain, I'm automatically at the good guy.
He's the guy who thinks he's doing right. Yeah, he wants to have a whole fleet of weaponized animals, right, as soldiers, so he can keep American soldiers from going to war. So he wants to just fill them all up with all these weird gadget looking creatures to fight his wars.
So are there, when it comes to your personal art and getting into this, I'm assuming that we've already kind of covered some of your like artistic inspirations and stuff like that. I'm curious to know a little bit more about maybe some of that, like what do you look to when you're doing your drawing? Who are you looking to? Is there anybody that really inspires you the most?
Yeah. Yes. A lot of the underground guys, like R. Crumb.
Yes.
Like for my other book, Ronnie and Tim, about these two rednecks who get into mischief in Central Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Spain Rodriguez. I'm really starting to look up on his stuff.
Spain Rodriguez. I'm familiar with R. Crumb. That's definitely one I've checked some R. Crumb stuff out. There's some interesting things there, but that I'm not familiar with them.
They were buddies. He worked in Zap Comics with
them. Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You ever heard of Trash Man?
I want to say yes, bro, but I'm not 100% sure. I may not. I might be deceiving myself.
Yo, look it up, bro. If you like Crumb, you'll love Spain Rodriguez. He's really good.
I do recall this. Yes, here's the collected Trash Man here.
Yeah, a lot of those guys inspired me to go independent as well. I discovered them when I was 17. You know, I was like, oh man, these comic books got titties, got all this crazy stuff in them. Like, oh, you could do this? It's like, man, I want to make my own comic.
Yeah, they were R. Crumb and them definitely were. What's the word I'm looking for? A little racy at times, and a little, yeah. And
yeah, political. And,
oh yeah, I like the radical. Political stuff, especially. That stuff really gets me interested. I'm not gonna lie. I get really excited when comics or any kind of game leans into the political stuff. I get that's my interest there. Or even more the philosophical as well, kind of like laying into their like bigger the picture questions I tend to like being addressed in forms of sci-fi in general, which I'd say comics kind of falls in there. Sci-fi, fantasy, superhero genres, right?
Yeah, like Spain Rodriguez, a lot of the old cats like Steve Ditko, Jack Kirby. I use a lot of Jack Kirby stuff. His foreshortening is amazing. I love his stuff.
Yeah, Kirby, I'm a fan of Kirby. I used to have the full run of the original New Gods and the stuff that he was doing in those New Gods. I love those things. Thor Ragnarok was one of the things I saw visually in a film the first time. Like, look, they're trying to do Kirby.
Yeah, you could see a lot of the Kirby crackle in the background.
Yeah, and there's that like interesting tech, I don't know what to call it, that Kirby does with his designs, that technological.
Oh, you mean like circles, there's it's like a circle connected to a zigzag. Yeah, machines that he made always looked like they would work.
It was cool. I love that.
They were just amazing looking stuff.
And it's great for putting in those, for trying to do like a color scheme in the way that he does those, because you can do your kind of like highlight colors and his little circles and lines and whatnot. He's got some fun stuff.
Yeah, he's truly a master. Like, I take a lot of that inspiration and I try to put it all into my work, you know?
Yeah, and of the comic artists that are out there, I think Kirby's probably one of the ones that's probably been one of the most influential artists of all time. Even on, like, I've even heard plenty of folks talking about how he influenced filmmaking and stuff like that as well, with those crazy shots that he would get, very dynamic and stuff like that. He kind of changed things around, which is... Sometimes some of those types of shots, if you're trying to do it, it's like, if I'm trying to draw it, it's like, I really wish I had a photo reference on here to see what this is. Yeah. Trying to get that can be complicated. I don't see how Kirby did that.
And he was really prolific. He was quick.
Yeah.
He'd get like 60 pages done in like a month or more.
That's a lot.
14 hours.
That's a lot. Like 60 pages in a month is a lot of comics. That is faster than that is. I don't know how to respond to that. That's impressive. That's all I gotta say. I could not do something like that. So, with you and your workflow and making a comic, I'm curious what it is you do when you're making the comic. Like how do you approach this? Where do you get start? Well, and
I would what's the first process do a script. Them? I would do a script first, and then from the script, I would break it down into thumbnails. I would start drawing them down, these little tiny storyboards for the comic book. And I would take those storyboards and then take those and pencil them, do the actual artwork, do the pencil, start from maybe the pages that I really would like to draw. I'd get it out the way, like two page spreads. Action scenes, and then I'd get into like the talking heads and work those out and pencil them all in and then ink them. And when they're all inked, I take them and put them into my 11 by 17 scanner, scan them into Photoshop, clean them up, get rid of all the scan lines, the pencil lines, make sure it's just black and white line work, right? And from there, I would go and add in, depending on what it is, if it's color, usually my books are black and white, right, for right now. I would scan them in and then do the Zip-A-Tone, the toning. I would put Zip-A-Tones, Duo Shade, and tone them all up to make them pop out.
Yeah.
When I'm all finished with that, I'll go into lettering the book. Do the dialogue balloons, the lettering, you know, and then... From there, I take it over to my buddy. He'll do the editorial work, check spelling, check to see if everything's ready for print. send it over to InDesign, get it ready to be printed, make sure all the bleeds are correct, and send it to the printer, which should be Mixam or Comics Wellspring.
That's a lot from start to finish. I'm sure working for someone like Marvel is like, here, you're the pencil. Yeah. Here's the script. Draw it.
Yeah,
a lot of hats.
Yeah, I'm everything. Yeah, yeah. So issue 1 and 2 was written by a friend of mine, Chris Keenan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he came up with the idea. You know, we both worked on it together. If it's not just me doing the script, if I'm not doing the script only, if he's helping out with it, he would do like a 3 or 4 page summary of what he wants. And then I'll take that, make a script out of it. And then we sit down together and look it over. And then once he's like, okay, this script is good, I'll break it down into thumbnails and then show him the thumbnails and go, oh, is this all right? And then I'll take the thumbnails and take it and make it into pencils and then to ink and then so on, you know?
Usually when we're doing this, we talk about a subject kind of off the subject, kind of off anyways. I was curious if you had anything that you might want to...
Well, let's just discuss this. Like, if you want to make comics, go and make them.
Yeah, there we go. That's a good one.
You know what I mean? Like, whatever it is right now, like, this is the perfect time to do it. Like... Be that independent person because their tools are out there, you know?
So what suggestion would you give to somebody who's wanting to make like their own comics and put them out there, but hasn't maybe tried to do that? What kind of...
Just go make them. That's it. You know what I mean? Go make them. Go look at the guy that you like and follow him, you know, and, mm-hmm. and make your own book. Like sit down and like find maybe an hour, make a page a day. You know, and put it together. Go on YouTube for anything. Like if you have like a question about how, like what kind of paper to use or where to go to print or where to letter, just go on YouTube and type it in there. That's how I found out everything I need to know. You know?
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. That's how I fixed my car.
Yeah.
Everything's on. YouTube is a wealth of information. People are putting out some good stuff. It's one of the coolest things we have in this day and age. It's DIY like something.
Mini college. DIY college.
It's the DIY place to go in this day and age. mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Well, it's been good getting to talk to you. I want to thank you for coming on, and I hope that
no problem.
If as you have other comics in the future, please. I'd like to keep in contact. Let's see what's going on. I'd love to hear from you as you continue to put these out. I'm looking forward to seeing what you got coming out in the next couple issues here of Unnatural Beasts.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We'll see.
I have, I've got issue 2 coming out next month, and I'm working on issue 3 right now. I'm actually cleaning a page.
Oh, right, nice.
Yeah.
So where can folks find you online if they want to follow and check out your stuff? And where can they pick up copies of your comics and all that?
Yeah, you can. If you want to pick up a copy of my comic, you can go to mentaldenstudios.myshopify. And you can find me on Instagram at J.A. Cartoons with an S. Or you can find me on Facebook at J.A. Cartoons with a Z.
Excellent, excellent. And as always, you can find me on most, I don't know, there's a lot of different social medias. I joined recently at Logar Hill Crom. Oh, that's gorgeous. Let me see that again. You have a great poster for it.
Splash page right
there. Oh, it's the splash. Oh, that's the original page.
Yeah, this is the original. Yeah.
I thought that was a print page of it. That's beautiful. That's gorgeous.
That's issue, this is page 4 to issue 3.
That's page 4 for issue 3. Oh, that's looking real good. I like that.
I just scanned that in, and I was cleaning it before we started this.
Thank you for coming on. It's been great getting a chance to talk to you. And as always, you can find me on most social media at Logar Hill Crom. And as always, keep those dice rolling.